Welcome, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Listen, you can obviously tune in around southeastern Wisconsin on 540 AM. That's coming to you from WAUK, where I broadcast from. But you can listen to this show wherever you can go, by wherever you might go, by downloading the Civic Media app for free. You can also listen to all of our past episodes on Spotify, Apple Pods, wherever you like to get your podcast from. And of course, on the Civic Media Radio website at civicmedia.us. This next portion of the show is something that's been bouncing around in my head for a while. It is the bookend, if you will, or part of the thinking process that I shared with all of you yesterday, really about what is going on, what is this strategy that Donald Trump seems to be deploying, how it's not about populism at all. It's not about serving the middle class. Of course, we can see that in his tariff policy, in his backing away from his promises about inflation. And I'm going to get into tariffs and inflation more in detail tomorrow with my special guest co-host, Tom Paulsiewicz. But yesterday really focused on what a grift this is and how weak Donald Trump actually is. Of course, it's an interesting table setter with Charles Franklin, the pollster, showing us that on a few items, right, declaring that there are only two genders, declaring an emergency on the border, working towards deporting people here illegally, but of course, a caveat that Americans generally don't want Donald Trump deporting people who have worked and been here a long time, raised families here, and have absolutely no criminal record at all. I'm going to call those the gimmies. But support seems to be much more fractured, much weaker, if there is support at all, and in fact, outright opposition to many of the other things that Donald Trump is doing that he said nothing about during his campaign. And of course, it'll be fascinating to see what transpires as he continues to break promises to the middle class. All of that as some context, as some setup for the discussion today. Because I think as it's becoming clear to many of us in a way that very few people, even Trump supporters, anticipated based on his statements during the election cycle, that Donald Trump's power, whatever it may be, however weak it may be, however fractured, however legally unsound, actually is coming not from the vox populi, not from the middle class, but rather from America's oligarchs, from America's billionaire overlords, of which we have one in particular now in a way that I don't think anyone really anticipated, of course, Elon Musk. But as Donald Trump continues his assault on the rule of law, continues to act in ways that court after court and case after case find illegal and unconstitutional. We'll see continuing injunctions granted, freezing and stoppages of what Donald Trump is trying to do. Of course, we'll see continued vilification of judges adhering to their oaths and following the rule of law and the Constitution of these United States. There'll be more calls for impeachment, and potentially we may eventually see a standoff between the Trump administration and the Article 3 co-equal branch of government, the judiciary. So we'll watch that space. But what Donald Trump, as I said yesterday, is trying to do is he's trying to act like a king, a tin pot wannabe dictator, because he's too weak to actually govern as a president in a democracy with three co-equal branches of government. Because he's too weak to do that, because his support is indeed fractured. And so what is that truly? It is, as I said, a wannabe tin pot dictator. And what wannabe tin pot dictators who really want to become actual kings, actual autocrats, will do is align themselves with oligarchs. And history is riddled with examples of exactly this. Let's consider Tito in former Yugoslavia, Kim Jong-un in North Korea, Stalin, Mussolini, Erdogan, and of course Putin in Russia. And let us not forget what Donald Trump has said in the past. And Aaron, I'm going to ask you to play all of these cuts that we have of Trump's positive things that he's said about Putin. And I'm going to reset my microphone while you do that.
Yes, we will give a listen now to the things that Trump has said, starting with some cuts from February of 2022, which is right around when this whole conflict began. And we will take a listen to that. And once Maggie is back, she will weigh in. So here's the first one from February 22nd in 2022.
Putin declares it as independent. Oh, that's wonderful. So Putin is now saying it's independent, a large section of Ukraine. I said, how smart is that? And he's going to go in and be a peacekeeper.
So, of course, Trump worshiping Putin, as we have seen many, many times. And he continued to do so the very next day.
Yesterday, reporters asked me if I thought President Putin was smart. I said, of course he's smart, to which I was greeted with, oh, that's such a terrible thing to say. I'd like to tell the truth. Yes, he's smart.
And so those were the first two from 2022 in February.
Pretty incredible, Aaron. And let us not forget, the first cut you heard on February 22nd, the second cut was from February 23rd of February 22, and Putin invaded Ukraine on February 24th, 2022. Donald Trump's support of Vladimir Putin, his friendliness, goes back many more years than that. Of course, Trump, it has been reported that he made various attempts to build a Trump Tower in Moscow or St. Petersburg. But perhaps the most shocking of all statements that Donald Trump has ever made about Vladimir Putin was when he was asked back in 2018 about whether or not he believes his own intelligence agencies who had told him the truth, which was that Russia and its intelligence agencies interfered with, meddled, and placed false information via social media networks, spread lies to meddle, to impact the 2016 election, of course, to Donald Trump's benefit. So let's remember the question asked by the reporter those many years ago, and who Donald Trump sided with, Vladimir Putin or his own intelligence agencies. Let's take a listen to that longer cut here.
President Trump, yes. You first. Just now, President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. My first question for you, sir, is who do you believe? My second question is, would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016, and would you warn him to never do it again?
So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Haven't they taken the server? Why was the FBI told to leave the office of the Democratic National Committee? I've been wondering that. I've been asking that for months and months, and I've been tweeting it out and calling it out on social media. Where is the server? I want to know, where is the server, and what is the server saying? With that being said, all I can do is ask the question. My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server. But I have confidence in both parties. I really believe that this will probably go on for a while, but I don't think it can go on without finding out what happened to the server. What happened to the servers of the Pakistani gentleman that worked on the DNC? Where are those servers? They're missing. Where are they? What happened to Hillary Clinton's emails? 33,000 emails, gone, just gone. I think in Russia they wouldn't be gone so easily. I think it's a disgrace that we can't get Hillary Clinton's 33,000 emails. So I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today.
Yeah. He said, I don't see any reason why it would be. Meaning, I don't believe that it was Russia that committed all of these election interference meddlings back in 2016. Why wouldn't he believe it? You wouldn't see any reason to believe that, would you, sir? Because it inured to your benefit. But I want to, again, get back to these historic analogs between oligarchs and wannabe dictators and those that become autocrats and dictators. Putin certainly would be one of them. Putin doesn't exist for as long as he had, doesn't have the iron grip over Russia that he has without Putin's mutually beneficial relationship with the oligarchs in Russia. Every dictator, every autocrat relies on the captains of industry, the most rich and powerful, eventually coming under their spell, if you will, entering into this sort of quid pro quo. The captains of industry, the oligarchs, wanting to remain amongst those privileged and preferred by the wannabe dictator who maybe becomes that dictator or autocrat. So again, history replete with these examples. Tito, Mussolini, Stalin, Franco in Spain, and of course, Adolf Hitler. There would have been no Hitler without the industrialists who supported him. And the parallels between that time in Germany's history and Hitler's rise to power and what is occurring today in our United States are simply undeniable. And so do not be mistaken, these issues of succumbing to our billionaire overlords, handing over the reins of power to Elon Musk in a way that he never explained to any voter, that none of us really wants. The preferencing of certain captains of industry in this country and the punishment of others is Donald Trump's effort to solidify his power, to create that mutually beneficial symbiotic relationship between a wannabe dictator and the oligarchs necessary for any autocrat to seize and retain power. So they're not two separate issues. The billionaire overlords, and as we speak, one in particular, that's not one issue with Trump's anti-democratic authoritarian power grabs and overreaches over in some other issue area. They are one and the same. And we know this not because we have a magic eight ball or a crystal ball. We know this because history has taught us that very lesson over and over and over again. Timothy Ryback is a historian and a director of the Institute for Historical Justice and Reconciliation in The Hague. He's the author of several books on Hitler's Germany, most recently a book called Takeover, Hitler's Final Rise to Power. He recently published an article in The Atlantic, which I have read and want to discuss with you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Autocrats, dictators, and the oligarchs that created them. More when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. 855-75-CIVIC. Join us.